Well, good morning, everybody. Come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to have you. You come in and find a seat. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Amen. Well, I want to read you from Psalm 100. It starts out like this. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with what? Gladness. And come before him with joyful songs. You know, we're going to start off today with a song, There's Joy in the House of the Lord. I believe that today. We've come today, not only to be equipped in the Word, but we've come to celebrate Jesus because we have been set free. Amen? So how about we all stand up on our feet today and let's worship Jesus with joy in our hearts today.
We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in his place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. To the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in his place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We'll be right back.
believe that you do great things, Father, and that you are not done yet. That your plan is yet to be completed, but it will be when you come back for us one day. And we just give you the glory that you deserve, knowing that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That you still move mountains, that you still part waters, Lord, that you still make a way where there is no other way, Father. That you provide, Lord, in ways that we can only imagine. We thank you, God, that we can count on you. That we can trust in you, Father. That you hear our cries, Lord. We can be confident in knowing that you answer us.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures a generation. That you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me.
You were a healer. Shine in the shadows, you win everything.
Well, we're so glad to have you here with us today. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you on this Sunday morning, and I hope you're glad to be here too, right? It's good to be in church together. If you have offering to give today, tithe or offering, please prepare that right now. Offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will help you out. They also have prayer cards, so if you have a prayer need, please ask for a prayer card. We'd love to join in faith with you in prayer. And as we'll announce in a minute, church-wide prayer is kicking back up in about a week. So not only do I pray over your prayer needs, but our prayer team or the prayer group that meets on Monday nights will also pray over them. So please ask for one of those. Give it back to one of the ushers. You can give it to me, and we'll make sure those are prayed for. And we believe, how many believe that God answers our prayers? Amen. I do too. So that's why we pray. So as you're preparing your giving, again, we appreciate your faithfulness and that you are supporting the church in your finances, not just being here and volunteering, but supporting in your finances, because we believe that whatever comes into the house out of the overflow of the heart, from the giving heart, God uses for the kingdom. It's our giving, it's our worship together, it's our serving together, all the things that make us a church. God does things with those things that wouldn't happen in our lives otherwise. So as you give today, understand that God is doing things with what you give beyond what you can imagine or think. Amen? So let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it this morning. Lord, I praise you because you are who you say you are. And you are the one who leads and guides and provides and does all the things that we simply need in our lives, Lord, because you are the one who made us and you're the one who makes a way for us. And I thank you as we give today that we are expressing that gratitude as we walk down front and give of our tithe and our offering. Just to know, Lord, that you are always in front of us. We honor you because of that. And again, we praise you with our giving today. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So as you're bringing it this morning, Margaret has a couple things to tell you about. Then we'll get on with some more announcements.
Well, hi, everyone. Good morning. Can you believe it's the last Sunday in August? July. I'm thinking August is coming. Yeah, I know. I just can't believe how fast the summer's gone. It's kind of crazy, you guys. We're moving our last one back for the last time, so a little emotional. But I just wanted to let you guys know, first of all, we have these Connect cards. I know I talk about them all the time, but I also wanted to say, so this also can give you, if you would fill these out, if there's any information you'd like about, you know, being a part of anything, we'd be happy to talk to you about that if you fill out one of these and drop it in, well, I guess just give it to Kelly right here or myself. We'd be happy to talk to you about that too. And then we have these bulletin-y things. So they tell you a little bit more about our church if you're interested, just a little bit about who we are, what we value, those sorts of things. And also, we have next steps coming up the first Wednesday in August, which is next, a week from Wednesday. Yeah, because I don't know where we are. Clearly, I don't know where we are. A week from this Wednesday, we have next steps. And so there is a sign up in the back, and that is just to tell you more about who we are as a church, what we believe, help you maybe get plugged into something. If you know, we'll talk to you about different opportunities. So we'd really, if that's something you're interested in, go ahead and sign up on the back. So, all right.
Also, some more announcements. We have a handful for you, so if you could just bear with us just for a minute. Next Sunday night is our, we're coming off our summer break for a lot of different stuff, and it kicks off next Sunday night with our next edition of our Youth Hangout Square. So 6 o'clock next Sunday night, 5th to 12th grade, we're back, but it's not going to be here at the church. So Samara's going to come up here and tell you where it is, okay? She's got the info on this.
So the Concord Center, if you Google it, it's an Urbana address, but it's kind of between here and St. Paris. I know that our kids are super excited about it. It's an old school, but they're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to play basketball, and they'll have a message. And I think, are we eating? Are we eating? Yeah, but it's really close. It's not far at all. But if you need directions, just message me, and I'll send them to you.
So next Sunday night, Youth Hangout Square, 5th to 12th grade, there will be a word given, a message, then there's going to be basketball and all sorts of stuff. So make sure your young person's aware of that and they're ready to do that next week. Also, with all of this stuff, again, coming off of our summer break, and I know we have a lot of people out today, but we need to let you know that in August, we ramp back up from our summer. Church-wide prayer kicks back up a week from tomorrow, okay? So everybody's aware of that. Every Monday night, starting that first Monday in August, we have church-wide prayer at 6 o'clock, and they go from 6 to 7. So I want you to consider, if you've never been to church-wide prayer on Monday night, I encourage you to be there. Reason being is because we are a pray-first church. And we have a very solid core of people that come out every Monday and pray for you and pray for our church. They pray for a lot of different things. But we'd love to see more people come out to church-wide prayer on Monday night. So please consider doing that. But that's a week from tomorrow that kicks off. Also, then, the following week, we have what we call Serve Week happening. So August 12th to the 16th, that's Monday through Friday, each night in the evening, we have what we call Serve Week. And starting Wednesday night, there's going to be a sign-up table back there with different things that we're doing each night, so you can sign up for what you'd like to be involved in. And it culminates on Friday night with a neighborhood cookout where we invite our neighborhood to come out for the cookout. If you were with us, we did that last year and had some people from the neighborhood come. But throughout the whole week, we're going to have to do some different things. So here's something that we're going to be talking about. And by the way, I think it's the second Sunday of September. We'll tell you more about this. We're going to have a vision casting Sunday here at the church. But we want to be a church on mission. We don't want to be a church that just gets together. We want to be a church on mission. But part of our mission is getting outside of the four walls of the church. Amen. I heard one amen. Hopefully we got more of them in your hearts. Serve Week is a part of that. It's to build an attitude that we need to get outside the church, but it's also in a way that we are kind of getting out there and starting the process of what it means to be a church on mission. So anyway, Serve Week, watch for the details about that. And here's for the guys. This is for the men in the church. So for the month of August, there are 31 days in August. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament has 31 chapters. I want to encourage all the guys in the church starting August 1st all the way to August 31st, to read a chapter of the Proverbs a day. So August 1st, Proverbs 1. August 2, Proverbs 2, all the way. And what we're going to do is in September, we're going to come together as men. We're going to talk about it. So I want to encourage you to jump in on that, and we'll see what that's all about come September when we get together. But let's jump into the book of Proverbs together for the 31 days in the month of August, okay? Also, don't forget, next Sunday we have water baptism. And I know I had a couple people ask me about water baptism. That's next Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet at the back for that. And if you sign up, we'll celebrate with you as you express your faith to the family of faith in water baptism. And last but not least, I want to introduce to you our small group leaders as we kick off, again, our next semester of small groups in August. Now, let me say something about small groups. Small groups are a vital part of who we are. Reason being, because we value relationships. And small groups are one of the main ways where relationships flourish and function in our church. It's a place where we help one another. And in that, by the way, there's something about relational connections where you can find freedom in things in your life. It's one thing for us to you hear a message and a good word every week, but it's another thing to get together and talk about things. And there's a certain amount of freedom that comes because of a small group setting where relational context happens and conversation happens and the Holy Spirit's involved in that. So we have a handful of different small groups that are happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tell you the leader. They get to stand up, okay, and I'm going to give you the information about their small group, and if I give it wrong, they'll correct me on the spot. How about that? Sound good? The first small group is happening. Well, it's not the first, but one of them is Samara's group. Samara, stand up. Everybody knows who you are, our worship leader. They meet. This is a small group for ladies. They meet the first and third Tuesday of the month at 7 o'clock right here at the church, and your guys' topic is going to be Gideon, and it's a series by Priscilla Schreier, okay? So they'll be kicking that off. But yours starts...
It doesn't start the first Tuesday of August, because we're, but the third.
Okay, so it'll be the first, third Tuesday when they'll kick off. So that's Samara's group. Then, of course, we have Joy Fellowship with Bill and Patsy. Bill and Patsy, stand up, okay? And they meet the fourth Sunday of the month at 5 o'clock at the church here, and that's a bring a dish to share kind of thing. It's for the older generations in our church. So, and they do a lot of great topics that vary through their time. So if you have questions for them, you can see them. Thank you. And certainly then we got Christine. Where's Christine at? And this is another ladies group in our church, and they meet the second Mondays of the month at 11 a.m. right here at the church. Now, you guys are still in the armor of God. Is that correct? Okay. They're still in their series, Armor of God. And when they're done, they will jump in on the Gideon small group that was started with Samara's group. Okay? Now, Margo has a small group. It's sort of a small group, but they meet the last Saturday. You have to stand up just like everybody else. Okay. You don't get out of doing that. But the first, you guys are on hold in August, but the last Saturday of the month, starting in September, they get together here at the church at 9 a.m. and just have coffee together and hang out and fellowship. So if you have questions about that, you can see her. All right, let's see. And there's Teddy has a group. Where's Teddy at? Teddy has a small group. Now, they meet weekly. Theirs is different because they're doing a yearly walkthrough of the Bible, and there's a scripture pattern they read during the week, and they get together and talk about it. And they will be meeting every Saturday at 9 a.m. at a location that she will tell you when you tell her you want to be a part of the group, okay? So just we're just not putting the address out for the world to see, okay? So you can contact Teddy about where they're meeting. Thank you. And then we got Tom Vaughn. Where's Tom at? Tom, now, this is a good small group. Now, they're all good, but I like this one. Tom is doing a small group, basic discipleship. For those of you that are new in the faith and want to get grounded in the basics of the faith, Tom is meeting, and his group meets second and fourth Thursday at 7 p.m., and it's the same deal as Teddy's group. Ask Tom for the location. We're just not going to put the address out there. You can ask him where to meet, and he'll tell you. But the second and fourth Thursday, that's a basic discipleship. And last but not least, Judah, he's not here. He's preaching at another church today. But Judah is leading a men's small group. That's the fourth Friday of every month at 7 p.m. here at the church. And his topic will be out of Hebrews chapter 10 about the fellowship of the church, and that's where they're starting. So, having said that, if that was a lot of information, if you go to the backboard back there, there's a poster that lists all of it on there. I encourage you to get connected to a small group starting next month. Amen? All right, good deal. All right, get your Bibles out. Let's get into the Word today.
You guys allowing us. Last Sunday, I was in Deschler preaching at Pastor Justin's church, and we had a wonderful time there. And then we left on Tuesday for a conference in Alabama, a church conference. And then the last two nights, we were at youth camp with our kids and Pump with all the Only Blue campuses, which, by the way, was an amazing time. And we sent from our church, 17 of our 5th through 12th graders were at that camp. And let me tell you something, Jesus showed up. Amen. And it was an amazing time, and you see some families that may not be here because they're all sleeping in, because we got home about 11 last night. People were getting home super late last night. But they had an amazing time, and I was excited to be there. I was able to speak the last two nights of the camp. It was just a good time. So for those of you that supported their fundraiser, sponsored kids to go to camp, it was well worth the investment of what you guys did. So we're believing that our young people are a vital part of our church. And younger generations, you have to invest into them because they're the future of the church. Our kids and our youth, and we believe so much in them that God, I tell them this all the time, you're never too young to be serious about Jesus. That's what I tell them, because I believe that. Amen? We went to Alabama. How many knew about the glitch in the technology and the flights were all messed up? We had a flight with Delta on Tuesday morning out of Columbus. And we're driving to Columbus, and we were just in Jackson Center. So we were only about 20 minutes, 15 minutes away from where we were. There were 15 of us going from the different Only Blue campuses. And we were in Jackson Center. We all got a notification, your flight is canceled. Like, we were supposed to leave board like an hour and a half later. They canceled our flight. So we're like, oh, man. So somebody was searching around. We actually connected to a Southwest flight that would have got us to Alabama that night at 9:30. Problem is, the conference started at 7. So we just made the wonderful choice, turn the van south, we're driving. So we did, and we had two 15-passenger vans with the people in our luggage, and we're trucking to Alabama, and it was a 10-hour drive?
It was forever.
It was forever. By the way, I got to stop at a Buc-ee's. I've never been at one. How many ever been to Buc-ee's before? You want to talk about the epitome of American consumerism? Buc-ee's is it. I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to Buc-ee's. You don't understand what I'm saying. Anyways, we actually stopped at Buc-ee's on the way back, too. We just couldn't not do it again. Anyways, so we drive so we can make this session at 7 o'clock. We get in Alabama, and it is ridiculously pouring down rain. We drove all day. You know, when you drive for 10 hours, you're just kind of over it. And it's just pouring down rain. So we get to the conference, and it's the Church of the Highlands. It's a giant church. The Church of the Highlands in Birmingham has 17 campuses. 40,000 people call this church their home. It's a big thing. But they put on a wonderful conference, and they don't act like they're that way. They're very down to earth and home and give you a lot of good stuff to use. But anyhow, we get there. And the conference was happening at two locations, the main campus and one of their bigger satellite campuses. And everything was live until the messages, and they just, you know, put the video in the other place. Anyways, we're there. It's supposed to start at 7, and then a screen comes up that's going to start at 7:30. And then not long later, about 7:15, they start walking around giving out ice cream. I'm thinking, they do stuff like this. But I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of cool. I'm sitting there eating my ice cream. And see, it was a PR move. They were making you happy for a minute. Because they walked out on stage and said, listen, everybody. Lightning struck the power whatever thing down the road. We're actually running on our generators right now, which only lasts for an hour. Sorry, we have to cancel tonight. We drove for 10 hours to be there by 7. When we could have flown and be there at night, and they canceled the. And we found ourselves at what restaurant?
Like
a Longhorn Steakhouse at 9:30 at night. Which, yeah. Don't ever do that, okay? It's just not good on a lot of levels. But it was a great time the next 2 days. Yes. Wonderful time. And I came back. I'm ready to go. But it's good stuff. Can I tell you an airplane story since our joke? Anybody want a joke this morning? Okay. I actually heard this at a conference. But I thought it was a good one. Since our flight was canceled, I thought this is a good joke for us. So as a plane flying, it's got four main engines. And while they're flying in the air, the passengers heard an explosion. Boom, pow, pow. And a moment later, the pilot comes on. Well, just to let everybody know, one of our four engines just blew up. But it's okay. This plane can fly with three. It's just going to make us a half an hour later. Everybody, okay, we're fine. And they're flying, and all of a sudden, boom, pow, boom, and pilot comes back on. Well, folks, just, you know, we lost the second of our four engines. But it's okay. This plane can make it. We're fine with two of the engines. It's just going to make us an hour later. And they're flying, and all of a sudden, boom, pow, bam, and pilot comes back on and says, look, everybody, I know it seems a little scary, but we just lost the third of our four engines. But don't worry, this plane can fly with only one engine. We're just going to be a few hours late. And at that time, one of the passengers said, well, man, if we lose one more engine, we'll be flying up in the air all day. If you didn't understand that, see me after church. All right, the book of Hebrews, if you got your Bible, the book of Hebrews. It's been that kind of week for me. Conference, youth camp, and here we are. Anyways, Hebrews chapter number 10. And by the way, I know people are out vacationing. It's a summer crowd. But if you see people that aren't here, just let them know you miss them, and we look forward to seeing them back at church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. We're talking about hindrances to growth in your life, spiritual growth. We talked about grumbling. We talked about the status quo. I know Pastor Rick, he gave him a great message last week, and we're back on it today. Let's read Hebrews 10:19 together. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, and this is talking about the temple and the curtain that separated out the Holy of Holies, but by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain. So when Jesus died, that curtain was ripped in two, symbolic of our free access to the presence of God. That is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, and Jesus is the great high priest, let us draw near to who? To God, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Hold fast. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works or good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, and that day is the return of Jesus, the day of the Lord. But notice there that we must consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. So draw near to God, hold fast to our faith, and spur others on. So, for instance, if you're watching on live stream today, I'm glad you're with us. Live stream is a wonderful tool. For those that are shut in and can't get out of their house, live stream is a good tool. If you woke up to come to church today, you're not feeling good. Live stream is a good tool. If your work schedule, you work on a Sunday or you work and you can't just get to church, you can watch it later. But anybody who's watching on live stream, if they could have been here, you should have been here. You know why? Because you cannot replace the relationships that we find together, that we turn to encourage one another and spur one another on to love and good deeds. You can't replace it. And you can't find that just always watching church on live stream. In other words, God made us, and this is important to know this, God made us for relationships, obviously. And not only did he make us for relationships, you all desire relationships, do you not? We want friendships. A lot of us wanted to get married. Okay, we want these things. Why? Because God made us as relational creatures, because he himself is that way. But here's the thing. Relationships can hurt us as much as they can help us. And that's why I want to talk to you about today. Hindrances to growth in your life. Relationships can hurt you as much as they can help you. But before we get to that part of it, just understand this. As a Christian, part of the Christian faith is to grow into a person who is a source of life to the people around us in the relationships that we have. And it shows up in a lot of different ways. To hear that. You are to be a source of life to other people. Notice what the writer of Hebrews said. That we spur one another on to love and good works. The love that we know. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. The good works that come from a life that has been saved and set free. We're supposed to be a source of life that way, to encourage one another. As a matter of fact, Noel's back there. Noel, if you'll put that first slide up for me today. I want to ask you a question before we go any further. Do you stir up others to love and good works? That's a question. You're called to do this. You are called to encourage other people. So before we talk about relationships that are not beneficial, let's just self-reflect first. Because it's easy to think about somebody else. How about you think about you? In the relationships you have in your life, your marriage and your friendships and your work relationships, your church relationships, whatever relationships you got, are you a source of life in those relationships? Or are you part of the problem? Be honest about it. That we are called to be people who reflect the relational God who has come to save us and forgive us and live life with us to help us get to where we need to go. Are you part of that process? In other words, to be a person that's a source of life to other people, you have to be very intentional in it. Listen, these things don't happen by accident. You must be intentional. So before we go anywhere else, keep this question in mind and think about it later and self-reflect. Am I a person that stirs up others to love and good works? Now, as much as I wish everyone was like that, that's not the case. And we find that there are people who are not only not growing towards that kind of way of being to other people, but there are people out there that are just simply toxic. Now, I think that gets to be an overused term. Okay, so I don't want to make a big deal with that, but just understand this. Let me just say this first. Just because there's somebody that you don't necessarily get along with doesn't mean they're toxic. Or if there's somebody that doesn't believe in your next dream doesn't mean they're toxic. Okay, you understand. There's a certain way of seeing this. But yet there are people in our lives, if we're not careful, will bring us to a place where they are hindering our growth. And you have to be aware of this and be conscious of it and in turn do something about it. Again, the Bible is very clear on the kind of people we should be in our relationships. And it's not just to make us nice people. It's because God understands how relationships work in a healthy way. So when we're not to be gossipers, or we're not to slander, or we're not to tempt others in sin, it's because there's something there connected to health. What he tells us, we should be people that learn how to forgive and learn how to bear one another's burdens. It's not just to be nice people, but because there's certain aspects of health that come with those things. So, self-aware. Am I that kind of person? But then I have relationships that may be quite the opposite. Here's some kind of ways we can see people that we could consider toxic that we're in relationship with. They're always takers and never givers. Now, I understand there's seasons of people's lives where they need a lot, but somebody that is never giving towards you, they always just take all the time. That's not good for you. People that are manipulative and controlling instead of being freeing. They're constantly negative. Now, there are times, by the way, it's good to have a relationship where somebody's very honest with you about stuff in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about just constantly negative. There's never anything positive I have to say. Relationships that lead you into temptation and sin instead of relationships that push you away from it and help you stay away from it. Relationships where they're always just the victim and they never see when they are the problem. Relationships that are abusive in any way. Relationships when there are boundaries, but they're constantly breaking the boundaries. Relationships that constantly cause confusion for you. These are examples of what I would call toxic relationships. Okay? You must be on guard in your life because if you're not careful, these kind of relationships will hinder your growth. Why? Because they take life away from you in some way and influence you away from, well, love and good works. Now, relationships, in a lot of different ways, they sort of create an environment. Some of y'all need some new environments. Some of you need to finally come to terms that there is a relationship in your life that is simply hindering your growth. For example, the church should have a certain relational environment that's life-giving. Friendships should have certain relational environments that are life-giving. Your marriage should have a relational environment, life-giving. Parenting, all the relationships you have, they kind of carry an environment with them that should be life-giving. Do you realize that Jesus, all that he did was give life, even when he was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors? Always giving life. Are the relationships that you have that way towards you? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to verse number 14. Strong wording from the Apostle Paul right here. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not, everybody say do not.
Do not.
Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You see that? Yoked relationships are relationships of influence. You ever see, and what Paul would be referring to, old school way of plowing a field or hauling something, they would put a yoke on two labor animals, oxen or something. When you're yoked with somebody, there is relationship of influence happening. Paul is saying, look, don't be in influence relationship with unbelievers. Because an unbeliever who does not have the same values you have or understand the perspective of the way of life that you have as a believer just simply won't hold to those things. By the way, that should never be surprising to you. So everybody probably been hearing about this, the big uproar about the opening of the Olympic Games. Well, there was a scene in this that seemed to mock the Lord's Supper. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, they've come out and said it wasn't that. It was actually a scene of the Feast of Dionysus, which is a Greek god. Okay, that's their explanation. Point being is this. Regardless of what their intent was, it still came across that way. And I don't think there's anybody that was involved in that didn't have the brains to think that it may be seen that way. Let's just be honest. I don't care what they say. But let's just say they were openly mocking the Lord's Supper. Now, to me, it's disappointing because of what the Olympic Games are supposed to be about. But at the same time, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's probably a lot of screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering out of pulpits this morning. You're not getting it from me because it doesn't surprise me. The Christian will never feel fully at home in this world. You understand that? That's why this stuff doesn't surprise me. It's just always been this way. Even if it's about the Greek god Dionysus, he is the god of debauchery, if you know anything about that. Okay, so even then, if it wasn't, even if you didn't see it that way, still they're putting it out there. All right? It's what it is. But it's not surprising. It's been this way. If it is about that Greek god, that the belief of that Greek god is as old as before Jesus. You know that. It's not anything new. When the Bible says don't be yoked with an unbeliever, but come out and be separate from them, there's always a sense that you'll never be fully at home in this world. You see that? And by the way, just a little side note to that. What's the response of Christianity if they feel they're mocked? It's all the more incentive to go share the gospel. Because if they want to be that open display of it, they need Jesus. You hear what I'm getting at? It actually should bring an incentive, an urgency to share the gospel. Amen? But as a believer who is not fully at home in this world, you have to understand there's all sorts of people out there that don't believe in Jesus, and the lifestyle they have may reflect it. Don't be in a yoked relationship of influence with somebody who influences you away from the things of the Christian faith, who influences you away from love and good works. These relationships are toxic to you. They stop your growth. So when I was in junior high, there was a time period of junior high I wanted to live for Jesus. And I rode the school bus, right? I had friends on the school bus. And here I am, I don't know, seventh grader probably. And I decided to tell my friends, look, I'm going to live for Jesus. So you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to cuss. I'm not, and whatever I said. You know what these kids did for the next whole month? They just tried to get me to cuss. Throw things at me, hit me. Come on, you can just say it, you know. Those were toxic relationships for me as a little seventh grader. How many know what I'm talking about? But you think about it in an adult level. Everybody look at me. You choose your relationships. You don't get to choose your mom and dad, but in that you get to grow up. You may not be able to choose your family members, but you get to choose influence. You get to choose, listen to me, who you're friends with. You get to choose how you act in your marriage relationship. So when the Bible says come out and be separate, it's saying, look, you get to choose who's influencing your life. And some of you are allowing influence to come in that's not good for you. It hinders your growth. Here's another scripture. We'll read this in the ESV, but the NIV has a different translation. But go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. Now the ESV says, this is what we're reading, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, that's influence, but the way of the wicked leads them astray, that's influence. The NIV says that the righteous are cautious in friendship, and the way of the wicked leads them astray. Wisdom says you are cautious for those that have influence in your life. It's wisdom. That not only are you self-aware of whether or not you are a source of life, but you are also aware of how others are affecting you. If we want to be everything God wants us to be, you must be careful of what is affecting you. And it's not just relationships. It's all sorts of stuff in this world that you let into your life. 1 Corinthians 15, let's turn there. Paul writing here, 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 33. It's just a simple statement right here. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So, Noel, that second slide, please. And this is just really straightforward, but here's this. Do not, everybody say do not. Do not be in relationships that influence you away from love and good deeds. Do not. Do not. Do not. Because if we're supposed to be in this long-term discipleship that is marked by the growth of the kingdom of God within us, if this is how we're marked, then anything in our life that would deter that from happening is a do not. Some of y'all need to change relationships. Let me tell you something. Boundaries are one of the biggest friends you can have in life. Boundaries. Because again, you get to choose the relationships you are in. You get to choose the influences coming into your life. Boundaries. There are some of you that need to cut some relationships because it's toxic to your growth. It's toxic to, maybe you could have a relationship that's toxic to your marriage. Cut it. You may have a relationship that's always bringing temptation to your life. Cut it. You see? What good is it to have a relationship and lose your soul? Let me say that again. You see, I did a little twist there. What is it good to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What good is it to have a relationship and lose your soul? It's just not worth it. Or maybe it's not cutting, but maybe there needs to be some cutting back. Not so much time. Not so much influence. Now look, I am a firm believer that we need to be a light in this world, and that involves relationships. As long as those relationships aren't influencing you, Jesus ate with the sinners and the tax collectors. But he wasn't influenced by them. He was the source. You can be in relationship with an unbeliever as long as they're not influencing you. You're the source of life. That's the only way we're a light in the world in most ways, by the way. But any relationship that you end up yoked with that's influencing you away, cut it or curb it. It's not worth your soul. There's a lot of relationships we stay in because they're kind of soulless relationships, if you know what I mean by that. There are relationships of temptation. You know it's not good, but you just like it. It's all sorts of different things. Maybe it's a relationship you've had for a long time, but it's turned the way it shouldn't be. They've been my friends since I was in the third grade. Okay, but it's not worth your soul. Family relationships that are not good, curb it. You can't cut your family off, but you can curb it. Relationships at work that are toxic, cut it. You can work with somebody without being in a influenced relationship with them. You see? And you've got to learn then to cultivate good relationships and seek them out and find them. If you say there's nobody that encourages me, you let me know. I will encourage you all day long. All right? But you got to watch out for yourself. When your growth is stopped, you never just stay where you stopped. You have a tendency to go backwards. Slide back, you know what I'm saying? And how many times in the church that I've seen people that had relationships of influence in their life that they didn't cut it or they didn't curb it, and it stopped their growth, and not only stopped their growth, but caused them to really fall out of their faith altogether. It happens more than I'd like to say it does. Because again, we're relational people, and we want relationship, but we're not wise in what we do. So, are you a source of life, but who is the source of life to you? That's what you need. And everything else, and by the way, let's just say this. In no case in all of this are you allowed to act unchristian towards somebody, even if they are not a good influence on you. You're not allowed to treat people meanly. That you must pray for one another. You must serve in a certain way that expresses the good deeds of the Christian life, right? It's not you treat people in a way that's unchristian of you. That never changes no matter what. But it's as simple as this. If there was a relationship in my life that was toxic and I came to that realization, I have to cut it, I would tell them, this is why I'm not going to be in contact with you anymore. It's just that simple. Sometimes you've got to stand up and do stuff.
Amen.
Or life never changes. Again, what good is it to have this relationship and lose your soul? Listen to me. That is maturity. For all the things that you say no to in this world, sometimes you got to say no there too. That is how you come out and be separate from them, as Paul writes. And live a separated Christian life. Well, what are they going to say about me? You're never fully at home in this world. It's not about your reputation. What if I'm an outcast because of it? You're never fully at home in this world. Because our world is, the kingdom's now, but it is to come. So my wife and I, we're very involved in our kids' high schools. I was a coach there. I coached there in the sports. Our kids were involved in a lot of different stuff. And there were times where we were a part of and invited to what the other parents were doing. Then they discovered we don't drink. That's just us. We don't drink alcohol. And guess what happened? We were not always invited to all their stuff. Or if we were there and they would just, they'd bring me a Coke. There you go. It just wasn't even a question. You see that? And if I felt that their influence was going to influence me to do something, I'm a pastor. I am not going to do things that put a stumbling block in anybody's way of hearing me. Okay, so I don't drink. There's things I just don't do. All right? If I felt that their influence was going to influence me to do something that I did not want to do based on the calling of my life, I would have stopped being a part of it and didn't care what they said. And yes, we did hear that things were said. Okay, say it. I don't care. You're whispering about the wrong guy. Don't care. You see? And that's a very simple boundary in our life. That we just put it right there. Those people like us. There's a funny story. There was one time our son Gavin, as a junior, sophomore, our high school basketball team, he was a starter, they made Final Four in state. So we went down to play at the Shot in Columbus, the basketball stadium at Ohio State. And we were there, and of course, they rented out the ballroom, and we're there just hanging out till the game. We're spending the night for the game the next day, and they're there eating. Of course, they bring in their coolers of alcohol, and it's just sitting everywhere. And I'm sitting there, and there's another guy that we've known since our kids were little because they played sports together. And he didn't even look. He grabbed something out of the cooler, came back and sat down beside me, popped it open. He goes, I grabbed the lemonade instead of a beer. He looked at me and said, this is your fault. Blame me. Because you're here, I grabbed the wrong thing. He was laughing about it. But you see, they understood with me. He asked, that same guy actually made a comment one time. He said, whenever I sit next to you at basketball games, I found something out. Whenever I sit next to you, I yell at the referee less when I sit next to you. You know what that is? That's a certain level of influence. You see what I'm getting at? So we were in an environment with people that didn't know Jesus the way we do. Okay? We're not being influenced, but we want to be life-giving all day long. But the moment that ever switched, we're out. See what I'm getting at? Boundaries in life that are smart and wise and don't hinder your growth. That is the only true way you end up being a light in the world. Because at the end of the day, yes, we should gather together as a church to help encourage one another. But when we leave, we are called to be a light in the world. But if you can't go be a light in the world and not be influenced by them, it's not their fault, it's yours. Because you can't stand firm in your faith. You see what I'm getting at? We're called. So, think about the relationships you have. By the way, some of those relationships, let me just say this and I'll close up. Some of those relationships, it may not be the best, but you can actually turn the tide on that. You know that. It's kind of like if I'm just saying Margo. If Margo was constantly gossiping about you guys, the church. And for a long time, I'm just listening to it. And you know what I end up doing? Gossiping with her. You know, all it does is this. Hey, you know what? We probably shouldn't talk that way. Turn the tide. Sometimes it's not cutting. Sometimes it's not cutting, but sometimes it is turning the tide in relationships. You know what I just did when I said, hey, let's not gossip? I helped spur her on to love and good works. right? See? Again, it's the way you approach what you're doing. Amen? All right, let's be wise. Let's stand up. Let's pray. How many understand what I'm talking about? Let me see. Anybody? Okay. Samara, if you come up. You know what? I feel like praying with people today. That's what I feel like doing before we head out. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Jesus' name. I appreciate Larry and I appreciate Julie. Blessings in Jesus' name. Pray perseverance and strength. There's new eyes to see and new ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, they become a part of our family of faith. In Jesus' name. I thank you for Joe. Boy, come into this church a few years ago, gave his heart to Jesus, and he's been growing ever since. I thank you for increased wisdom. Increased wisdom in Jesus' name. Double portion of wisdom in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for Jenny and Tish, who were in this church long before me. Lord, peace that passes all understanding. Peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for that. They know they're not done being used, not by a long shot, not close. There's a long way yet to go. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I thank you for the Thomases who brought their families to this church. They become important to us. I feel like there's long-term like strength and like a pillar in the church. Unmoved. Faithful. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this family, the Griffins, Lord. That you will have your way and your will be done. Becoming the intention of what you have called them to be. I thank you for that. That it will be seen. Will be seen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. For the Triddles that have come, Lord, I pray growth. Yes, Lord. Foundation is there, but yes, this couple. They have more potential than I could ever think. You have things for them. I thank you for that. Begin to draw it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Brian, Lord, blessings upon him. Wisdom in all the things that he's doing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For this man will be a great influence. I thank you for that. Great influence right here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This man right here, sure footing, straight path in Jesus' name. Not to the right or to the left, eyes fixed on Jesus all the way through. I thank you for that. I thank you for Kelly and her family. You will give her desires of her heart. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everything is done. It's just God is reaping where he did not sow. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. How about this? If you would like encouraged today in prayer, I just ask you to come on down. I'm not going to go through everybody just walking around there, but if you would like encouragement and prayer, you can come down this morning. I'll spend a moment with you, okay? If not, you are dismissed. You can head out. I'll see you Wednesday, next Sunday, invite some people out. But don't head out. If you need encouragement this morning, please come forward. I'd love to pray with you, all right? In Jesus' name.